We're going to have our Bible reading now. If you would like to follow along but haven't brought a Bible, there are some Bibles up the back in a blue tub, so feel free to get up now and go and grab one of those. We're going to be reading from Ecclesiastes chapter 4. So Ecclesiastes chapter 4, starting at verse 9. Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. And our next reading is from Ephesians chapter 4. That's on page 828 of the Bibles from the back. So Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 1. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is, Christ. From him, the whole body is joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work.
Thanks, Sally. Good morning, everyone. My name's Mark. If we haven't met, great to be with you this morning. Growth mindset is something that I seem to keep hearing a little bit about on podcasts I listen to and that kind of thing. Maybe you're familiar with the idea of it. It's the idea that our abilities can be developed through hard work and learning from failure and setbacks. So people who have a growth mindset are people who embrace challenges. They persist through obstacles. They learn from criticism. And it highlights a couple of key truths, I think. Firstly, that growth is a good thing in the right context, obviously. But secondly, it doesn't just happen. Growth doesn't just happen. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes the right approach. And to some extent, each of our lives are a reflection of the kind of growth that's important to us. So if I care about growing my wealth, there's a good chance, as I try and make the clicker work, if I care about growing my wealth, there's a good chance that I'm going to be spending long hours working and I'm going to be investing that money carefully. If I care about growing my muscles, I'll be hitting the gym, I'll be loading up on protein. if I care about growing my garden, I'll be out there digging holes and buying the right things from Bunnings. If I want to grow in my music skills, I'll be spending hours practicing. If I want to grow in my social and cultural awareness, I'll be churning my way through books and podcasts. For parents who have got young babies or young babies on the way, there's a huge amount of time and energy that goes into your baby's physical growth. And in the years that come, you're going to want to see your kids grow in other sorts of ways. And there's going to be a lot of driving them around to sports and all that kind of thing. Now, there's nothing wrong with pursuing these different types of growth. But Ephesians chapter 4, the passage that we just read, describes the growth that most truly reflects who we are. And so it's a fitting passage to look at in this final week of our This Is Us sermon series, where we've been thinking about the things that we do as a church. Our Sunday gatherings, our mission, our serving, our giving. And this morning we're going to be thinking about community, and in particular our community groups that we have. And there are going to be three questions, basically, that we're going to ask this morning. Firstly, what's the goal of the growth in this passage that we've just read? What's the goal of the growth? How does this growth actually happen? And what does it look like practically for us? So firstly, the growth goal here in Ephesians chapter 4 is maturity in Christ. And it's helpful to see this in the context of the first three chapters of Ephesians leading into it, where the Apostle Paul, who writes the letter, he explains that to be a Christian is to have every spiritual blessing, every blessing that really matters. We were once dead in our sins, but we've been made alive in Christ. Jesus has died, not just to bring us to God, but to bring us to one another as well, to become one body. And so this body, the church, brings God glory as we live for him together. And so then we get to Ephesians chapter 4, where Paul urges the Ephesian Christians back then and us today as well to live a life worthy of this calling that we've received, which is a one another life, a life united together under God. Now, and we see that, don't we, in the verses that follow, where to be humble and gentle, where to bear with one another in love, keep the unity of the Spirit. There's one body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. And we see the goal of this one another life there in verses 12 and 13, the body of Christ being built up until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So in other words, it's about growing together to be more like Jesus. Growing together to be more like Jesus. Now, on one level, my faith journey is my own. I'll give account to God for my own life. I've got responsibility for my own personal growth. But at the same time, we're a body growing together. We see that idea, don't we, in verse 15 there. We grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. So Jesus is the head. He's the one who gives the body its shape and its direction. Look at verse 16. From him, from Jesus, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Many of you know I've got a couple of young boys, and one of my earliest memories of holding both my boys in my arms as little babies, this is a really profound insight into babies coming up, just so you know, is how tiny every part of their body was. Like, you're just holding this baby, they've just got these tiny little fingers, they've got these tiny little arms. That's not one of my kids, it's just a stock image, but kind of gives you the idea. These tiny little ears, just everything is tiny about them. And as they get older, each of those tiny body parts is growing. Each of those little fingers is getting a little bit bigger. The arms are getting a little bit bigger. The growth is happening part by part, but it's also happening as a whole, right? Like the whole body is getting bigger. And it's the same for us as a church. We each grow to be more like Jesus, but in a very real way, in our own lives and collectively, we're growing together to be more like Jesus, to reflect more and more the people who Jesus has saved. And what we experience now together as that happens is just a tiny taste of heaven, when we'll be fully mature together in Jesus. We'll be just like him. And so as we do this imperfect thing on a Sunday called church, we're moving closer towards that perfect picture, which, when you think about it, that's really different to any other kind of community that we could be part of. We're growing together, and one day we'll be perfectly together. Now, I realize you might be here this morning, not necessarily identifying as a Christian, but maybe the community aspect of church is something that appeals to you, the idea of being part of something bigger than yourself. What this passage is saying is that what we experience here and now is just a taste of what it will be like one day forever for everyone who's put their trust in Jesus. So if that's the growth goal, growing together to maturity in Christ, the next question is, how do we get there? How do we get there? And what we see here is that God's way of growing us to maturity in Christ is through one another. We see that right throughout this passage. Have a look there in verse 11. We're told Jesus gives the apostles, the prophets, and all the other leaders to equip his people for works of service. And so the body is built up as all of God's people, not just the leaders, but all of God's people are equipped for works of service. Verse 16, from him, from Jesus, the whole body grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And verse 15 tells us most clearly what this means. We grow to become the mature body of Christ as we speak the truth in love. That's how we grow together to be more like Jesus. Each one of us speaking the truth in love to one another. So there are two key things here, aren't there? There's first speaking the truth, speaking the truths of God's word into one another's lives. And secondly, doing it in love, doing it in the context of a loving relationship. In fact, as we read right throughout the New Testament, we see that this one another language is everywhere. I'll take you on a bit of a speed tour now. We're called to love one another. So, for example, Jesus tells his disciples it's going to be love for one another that marks us out as his people. And this one another love plays out in all sorts of practical and often costly ways. We're to offer hospitality to one another. We're to carry one another's burdens. We're to bear with one another and forgive one another. And we're to encourage one another and build one another up. We're to teach and admonish one another. We're to confess our sins to one another and pray for one another. And we protect one another as well. Look at what it says there in the book of Hebrews. We're told to encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. So in other words, by encouraging one another, we protect each other from the deceitfulness of our own sin, but from the ways that our sin blinds us. And we see that same idea in the Ephesians passage that we read there. Have a look at verse 14 of chapter 4. If we're not speaking the truth in love and we're not growing to maturity, what's happening? We're going to be like infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. And so in other words, we need each other. We need each other. The Christian life, it's not just an individualistic pursuit of my own spiritual self-fulfillment. It's not just about me and Jesus. The Bible calls us to a rich and deep life of one anothering with the goal of growing together to be more like Jesus. If you're here this morning and you're a follower of Jesus, do you believe that? Do you believe that to be a Christian is to be part of a body, joined together, dependent on one another? And if your answer to that is yes, then it raises the question, how do we live this out? What does it look like practically for us? This is probably where I'm meant to come on like a morning TV show salesman and sell you community groups as being the solution to that. You know, all of this can be yours if you just sign up for one of our community groups today. Not exactly. It's pretty clear as we see the interconnectedness of the Christian life, not just in Ephesians 4, but right throughout the New Testament, that 2 hours on a Sunday, as great as that is, it doesn't quite reflect that, does it? And even if you added 2 more hours of joining a community group each week onto that's not the silver bullet either. What we need is a mindset, a growth mindset, if you like. It's a conviction that us growing together to be more like Jesus is the growth that I care about. And so asking, how can I be investing in that kind of growth? How do I build my life around it? Again, if I wanted to grow my garden more than anything else, I'd be building my life around fertilizing and Bunnings trips. If I wanted to grow my arms more than anything else, I'd be building my life around gym sessions and protein shakes. But if the growth that I care about most is the body that I'm part of growing together to be more like Jesus, then I'm going to build my life around speaking the truth in love to other members of that body. Now, I totally realize there are lots of factors going on, like work, cost of living, health, season of family life that are going to shape what that looks like for each one of us. And it plays out in lots of different ways. If it happens at home, if you're part of a Christian household, it's going to be the way that we disciple our kids or treat our parents or speak to our spouse. It happens in our friendships, but not just enjoying one another's company, but speaking the truth to one another in love, speaking God's truths into one another's lives. It happens in our ministry teams here at church on a Sunday. Our teams aren't just about getting a job done. They're not just about getting the chairs set up and making sure everyone gets a biscuit after church. They're about serving the gospel together and building one another up as we do it, ministering to one another. And so it's worth reflecting on these opportunities that we each have to help grow the body. Am I in the habit of speaking the truth in love to the people God has placed around me? Am I doing it at home? Am I doing it in my friendships? Am I doing it when I'm serving at church? Are the people around me being encouraged, loved, pointed to Jesus, and built up by the words that I'm speaking? It's a great question to reflect on. And of course, our community groups are a particularly intentional way that we pursue this growth. So here on a Sunday morning, we can go wide. We can go wide. We hear from God's word, we pray, we have time in community, and there's 200 plus of us who are doing it. But our community groups help us to go deep. That's where we can really dig deep into the Bible with a small group of people, and we can draw out what it means for us. We can pray for one another week in, week out. We can have that close and personal community together where we can really get to know one another. Our community groups help us to go deep in a way that Sundays don't. And that they provide that ongoing space for us to speak the truth in love, and in doing so, to grow to become the mature body of Christ. A few Sundays ago, we were reflecting on church, like why we do Sunday gatherings, why church is us. And one of my reflections, one of the things I love about church here on a Sunday is just what an amazing thing it is as we all come together each week, just knowing how different we all are, all of our different backgrounds, different stories of how God has been at work in each of our lives, the often extremely challenging things that are going on in each of our lives as we walk through those doors on a Sunday morning. There's a real beauty in us coming together, completely different weeks, completely different backgrounds, but in all of our differences, united together in Jesus. And the more that we know each other, the more that we really know what's going on in each other's lives, the more we'll see that beauty each week as we come together on a Sunday. That's the kind of depth that community groups allow us to have with one another. I think about the group that I've been part of this year. There's about a 30-year age gap between the people in our group. Like we would never hang out just by chance. If you were thinking about 10 people to invite to a barbecue, you wouldn't pick the 10 different demographics that we've got in our group. But as I reflect on our group this year, the things that people have vulnerably shared with one another in that group, the preciousness of being able to share life week by week, pray for one another, the message it sends when someone's had a really busy, hectic week and they're there on a Monday night prioritizing it, the deep discussions that we've been able to have as we've dug into the Bible, God has greatly blessed us with one another. One of the great joys in my job is getting to regularly meet with all of our community group leaders together and being encouraged, not just by the servant hearts of our leaders and the ways that they invest and care for the people in their group, but just hearing all of the ways that God has been at work in each of the groups as we've shared life and as we've spoken the truth in love to one another week in, week out. Hearing about the group member who was loved and cared for during a difficult season. The person who is anxious about joining a group but has prayed out loud in their group for the first time. The disagreement between two group members that was handled in a really kind and godly way. If you're here each Sunday but not yet in a community group, then it's great that you're here each week, like enjoying the width of our fellowship and all the blessings that come with that. Being together, hearing the Bible read each week, singing our praises to God together. But there's a depth of fellowship that you're missing out on. Now, I realize that for many of us, another weekly commitment in the calendar feels like a huge stretch to make as you look at your calendar each week and you see how few blank spaces there are. And for some of us, there are really good reasons for not joining a group for whatever reason. But I want to gently challenge any of us who could be in a group but aren't. Perhaps because you feel that you don't need a group at this point. I hope you can see that from what we've covered this morning, that we actually need each other more than we might realize. God has wired us that way. But it's not just that, it's also that other people need you. Other people need you. You're a member of our body, gifted by the Holy Spirit with work to do to help build the body up. again, I think of the groups that I've been part of this year. I've got my Monday night community group, also my year 7-8 boys at Seek Youth here on a Friday night. And in both of those groups, two very different groups, but both of those groups, everyone brings something unique. Everyone, whether they fully realize it or not, they contribute to the growth of our group, the growth of our church in their own God-given way. And so when someone misses a week, we all miss out on having them. God is using us to grow each other. So as we finish this year, as we get towards the end of 2025 and we look ahead to next year, I wonder, what does it look like to make 2026 a year where we are growing together to be more like Jesus? And where each of us are doing our own unique work under God to contribute to that growth. Now, that might play out in lots of different ways, but if you decide that might mean joining a community group, then I'd love to meet up and have a chat about what that could look like. You're welcome to grab me over morning tea. There's a QR code on the back welcome table that you can scan. There's a quick online form that you can fill out if you're interested in finding out more about community groups. I'd love to catch up and have a chat about it as well. We have groups that meet on weeknights or during the day. We've got men's groups, women's groups, mixed groups. None of our groups are perfect. They've all got sinful people in them. They've all got messy people in them. But week by week, speaking the truth in love, each of them are contributing to the growth of our body to be more like Jesus. So let me pray. Father God, we thank you for the privilege of being part of your church, being part of the body of Christ, growing together to be more like Jesus. We thank and praise you for the work of your Spirit making that happen as we speak the truth in love to one another. We ask that as we go wide here on Sundays in Bible and prayer and community, and as we go deep in our community groups, that you would be powerfully growing us together to be more like your Son, as we long for that day when we will be perfectly united to him and perfectly united to one another. And we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.